I got a 22. Okay, 20.
Okay. 20 is public forum. Yes, you need a card for it?
No, you got
more. Okay. No. Mr. Perlman, Chris Allaby, Gail McPherson, Bruce Payne, Steve Shemek. Okay, Mr. Perlman. Not here. Okay. Mr. Allaby? There he is. Go ahead.
Perlman, Los Osos. My first comment has to do with what I believe is a lack of recordation to these meetings. There's no cameras, etc. The board keeps its minutes, by my understanding, as a audio tape and adopts the audio tapes as its official minutes. Since that is the case, and since there cannot be any modification to such an audio tape, there are certain problems with that. An audio tape cannot be scrolled through. A videotape, which is an even more precise recordation of minutes, can be scrolled through, and therefore specific items can be addressed or reviewed. When you use an audio tape, say for a meeting today, there were two separate days, I'm sure it'll be split into the 2 days, it's very, very difficult for anyone to go through and look at it. But my main concern is that it doesn't appear on your website as minutes. Apparently, it requires an official recognition. I'm not sure of these details, but I'm recommending that if you are using the audio tape as a minutes, that it be allowed to be put on the website immediately after a first review by a staff member and noted to be unapproved minutes or some other notification, since it's hard enough to get through an audio tape anyway. There is a delay concern, and I think that should be made accessible. I'll talk a little bit about AB 32. I'm going to use an example that doesn't have as much to do with water. It has to do with, this is a draft EIR for the Los Osos project. The draft EIR was noted in one of the Sacramento, somewhere in Sacramento, somebody's keeping a list of which projects or AB 32 use AB 32 in their discussions. This EIR was recognized to have done, though, that. But in looking through it, not very many people seem to understand how complicated AB 32 is. AB 32 has to consider the effect on the global aspects. It also means that if you're bringing anything into your county, say methanol, for use in a treatment process, There are things that are outside the control of the people utilizing it, and I see I'm running low on time. The bottom line on that is, for example, if the grasses at Tonini are collected, they've fixed CO2, which is a good thing. If they're put into a landfill, they then produce methane, which is 20 times worse than CO2 as far as a green gas. I believe you submitted, staff submitted a draft EIR comment, and I'm not talking with the expectation that low-lying areas that have saltwater intrusion in them should have, if a gravity system is chosen, that those gravity pipes be sealed, which is an additional cost. If possible, and I see that staff has left, I'd like to know where in the EIR they found this, because I don't think the county has included that in their bidding costs. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Perlman. Mr. Allaby?
While Mr. Allaby's coming forward, I can say that we do have official minutes. The board adopted them today, for example. They're in every agenda. They're also posted on our website for every meeting, and the audio is also posted. Just answering your question.
Go ahead, Mr. Allaby.
Chris Allaby, CDO number 1019. I'd just like to know the exact status now of these CDOs, what that is now, and my relationship to the 45 others. I heard today everybody seemed happy with the septic tanks and Atascadero, as long as they were working okay. Mine was working okay. And and exactly what is the relationship of myself, the CDOs, to the county, and has the county actually taken over the project or not? That's all I've got.
Gail McPherson? Mr. Briggs?
Actually, I think that's up to Ms. McChesney to answer that.
I think the CDO has in it, if the county takes over the project and completes it, that resolves the issues of the CDOs. But there is ongoing litigation about the CDO, so it's really not appropriate forum to address your other questions. Are you part of the lawsuit challenging against the water board challenging the CDOs? Okay, then it's not appropriate to discuss the status of the litigation in this forum. You can discuss that with your counsel. I'm the counsel for the regional board. I can't give you advice about that. I'm not sure of the status of that. I think it's probably on there.
The county's developing the project.
Yeah. You would need to discuss that with the county. I don't know what the status of that is. Right. I think they have to make a decision, and I don't know what the status of that is.
I think they're anticipating that in the next few months.
Okay. Gail McPherson?
Good afternoon, Gail McPherson, Los Osos. I wanted to note that the documents that were turned in by one of the last speakers, the last couple of speakers, to the record came from me. They were a stack I was collecting. And so if they aren't appropriate for that record, for item 18, if you could please return them, that would be
okay,
appreciated.
Okay, are you going to be here for
I can. Yeah, I will be.
Okay, because I can just go over them with you.
That would be great.
Okay, because I think most of them are repetition of what we already have.
Yeah, but the problem was that they weren't available on site to, you know, on the website.
To determine, yeah.
That's
okay.
Right. And then also the list that was turned in, I'd like to get a copy of that since I distributed that list, and I wanted it turned in to you so that you could see who was for that position, but I would like to get a copy of that back since that was an original. I also wanted to note the Cortez list for the CDOs and CAOs doesn't include the people in Los Osos that got enforcement. And I printed this out, and I'm really shocked that we're not those 50 cleanup and abatement orders, and they're just not on there, which is a violation. And I just want to make sure that you guys are aware of that. Also, on the in issues of the enforcement policy, we were just giving comments to that fairly recently at the state level. And I wanted to find out how the water board here is tracking that. And there's a lot of economic disparity by affected communities. I just wanted to note that in the notices of violation that are sent out under that enforcement policy that's being updated from the 2002 version, that it is noted that property owners and occupants, including tenants, are ultimately responsible for their for discharges, and I'm not bringing up just septic, but and it's important for people to know that under that new policy, you're not required to notify them, and you can just take action and enforcement action. That's one of the streamlining. I think again, you're moving away from informing people on what they need to do to comply, and taking pretty harsh. And I've heard the word tossed around, draconian issues. And I think affordability and environmental justice are really important when you consider these statewide policies that will be funneled down through this board and applied to the people, the citizens in these counties. That was the workshop to receive comments regarding the draft water quality enforcement policy that I'm referring to. and I think it's really important. Also, I took exception to the comment that there was inflammatory erroneous information. I have not put out erroneous information. You may disagree with how alarming I think this is to people, but I think that to say slanderous things about materials that were actually copied and pasted from either state or your documents and your criteria is unacceptable. And last, I'd love to have a chance to go over the recent studies out of Stinson Beach on nitrate exceedances and some new information that definitively ties seeps to some of the algal blooms in the surf zone.
Why don't you submit that, Ms. McPherson?
I would love
for
to.
For the board.
And
can you wrap it up, please?
And last, nitrogen is a concern, of course, and the fact that a billion gallons or more a day is discharged to the ocean, not just these little seeps from septic, but from the ocean into the, you know, into offshore pipelines ought to be a bigger concern since it's so much more in volume. And so thank you very much, and thank you for your patience today.
Thank you for your comments. Steve Shemek, then followed by Bruce Payne, and then C.Z. Whitney and Shauna Sullivan.
I've got some slides.
Okay.
My name is Steve Shemek, Monterey Coast Keeper. I'm also on the Ag Waiver Panel. There's a dynamic on the Ag Waiver Panel. Some people would like to see much less regulation or the waiver stay the same. Other people would like to see a more regulatory waiver, a waiver with some numeric standards. One of the most contentious things on this panel is riparian protection, no question about it. I just want to put riparian protection into context. This is a slide of the Salinas River Channel and bulldozer work going on without a permit. You can ask me about that, but I won't go into it right now. In the Salinas Channel, next slide. You can see that they're pushing it up against the riparian and widening the riparian zone. Next slide. You can see that the work is fairly recent. The 5-year maintenance permit is over. They do not have an emergency permit. Next slide. This gives you some scale. This is taken out of the window of an airplane that I was flying at the moment. And you can see that this is huge. This is over a mile long. There are several of these areas along the Salinas River. Next slide. Again, you can see what the point is. The point is to widen the channel so if there is high water, the blockage will not occur next to this farm. And that has to do with food safety. If that farm floods, it has to be taken out of production because of food safety concerns. Next slide. You can see that you can tell the difference between an older area and a newer area. Here's an area that has green grass in it. Next slide. This one's a little dark. But this is a windrowing of manure. This is an area that was cleared out in the Salinas River Channel, a riparian area, and you can see that what they're doing is commercially mixing manure and other materials for composting. This is a commercial operation carved out of the riparian area. And I've notified your staff of this stuff. Next slide. So this shows that this is just from a little bit further back. You can see that it is carved out of the riparian zone. Next slide. It's not the only issue we're facing. These are the rodent bait stations. This is one that's oozing poison out onto the ground. You know it's poison because the poison is either blue or green material. Next slide. These are rodent bait stations that are completely flooded by a ditch. And next slide. That's it. Thank you so much. We do have some concerns about riparian protection. We think that staff is pushing as hard as they can push. There is a great deal of resistance to any mention of riparian protection in the ag waiver.
Thank you for your comments.
A question?
Yes.
Can we back up to the riparian grading?
We'll see if we can. Say when.
That one.
Okay.
I thought in your first photo you were saying that they're pushing up against the riparian, which would mean they're pushing up towards the mainstream channel, but then when you look, when you showed this, it sounded like you're saying the opposite. That
they're pushing both ways.
Oh, okay.
In other words, they're basically ripping out the riparian protection. When we actually asked Army Corps, we actually got what I considered a kind of poor answer. We said, is this legal, Army Corps of Engineers? Because this is done theoretically under an Army Corps permit. Go back. That's fine. And that's fine. And what they say, stop.
Okay.
And what they say, what they say is, oh, see that green area right down the middle? That's our jurisdiction. And see, they left some vegetation within our jurisdiction. That's literally what Army Corps said. And that area that's been cleared, not our jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you for your
comments. What's the status of that? Didn't we permit through the Monterey County Water Water Resources Agency some permit to let these guys go dig?
I think that's a five. Isn't that the five-year?
That's the
five-year. Referring to?
And part of what I'm suggesting here, without really saying it, is I hope you stay involved in both the five-year renewal of the five-year permit, which will probably come up soon, and the emergency permit, which is being revamped now and may be a moot point. I'm not sure.
Bring your slides back.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll check on the status of that. I don't recall off the top of my head what it is.
Bruce Payne?
We'll also check up on that manure operation.
Good afternoon or good evening again. I need to ask a few questions about 18, if I could. One, it appears that you've adopted the resolution that of 0012, and some of these resolutions become law, and others are just ignored. 8313, we obviously know is being enforced as law, and Soramox just said that this. R3-2008-0005 allows local agencies shall implement these control. The same thing that 8312, which was before 8313 by one number, and we were supposed to have a septic tank management program in place, and that's the reason we got the moratorium zone in 88 and et cetera. So is this R3-2009-00012 law now? It's a draft law?
It has to go through more process. It has to be approved by the State Water Resources Control Board and then an agency that's called the Office of Administrative Law.
Okay.
To approve it, and that could be a number of months away.
Well, thank you. Then I'm to assume that probably 8312 was not went through the rest of the process. It was
well,
just adopted,
in 1983, it went through the process that was applicable in 1983.
8312 went through the process, so it was law.
Yes. Well, yes.
And we didn't get a septic tank management program.
Well, it also had you should have a septic tank management program, yes.
Oh, so in other words, nobody has to have a septic tank management because it says shall in this R3-2008-0005. Anyway, I don't want to hassle the process. The one thing that I do need to bring out is that the prohibition zone is not founded on science. It was spread out over this Redfield Woods with 60 foot of adosone is a beautiful recharge of tertiary treated water by the time it hits the waters of the state. The problem that does exist was created by the county permitting stuff that was in high groundwater. And they had wells drilled that weren't sealed properly, so the data showing that there was high nitrates was mostly from pollution from surface water seeping into the thing. So anyway, I'll write a book about this sometime.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Payne.
You.
Mr. Whitney, and last speaker is Ms. Sullivan.
CZ Whitney, on behalf of Ableco, I've already told you about our organization a little bit. I'm not sure exactly how to ask this, so I'll just do the best I can. When you have a resolution that is supposed to help the folks, that is supposed to make things simpler for them and less expensive, why does it take well over 100 pages to do so in something that shouldn't take nearly that many pages? Because I think this is part of the confusion, is that people have a hard time understanding it. And when the information is released through different media outlets, the confusion compounds. And I think what happens when you develop reports like that, when you develop that kind of paperwork, you fall into the typical trap that the bureaucracy often does, and that's called the three cons: convoluted, contradictory, and confusing. And I think there was some confusion actually mentioned by one of your staff people up here. We're not professionals. We're certainly not water professionals, and we're not professional law people in most cases. In other words, we don't even understand some of the legal ramifications here. We know we have concerns. Ableco does have a battery of legal experts that are coming on with our organization. We do have a general counsel. So we're going to have a better understanding of what's going on in the future. But I think that you, as a board, could ask for some form of simplification here. And you talked about it with your bullet points and that sort of thing, so that the general public has a better understanding of what is really going on. Because there are rumors, but there are also things I feel when I read that report that seem to be hidden in there that weren't talked about today. So I would hope that you guys can do a little bit better job than that, and I think that would be a service to the public. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Whitney. Ms. Sullivan?
Yes, I have a few comments. I would request that if you're going to change the location of a meeting, that you publish it and let that be noticed, not just on the internet, but actually publish it. So when this meeting got changed to this town instead of Salinas, that would be available to people to know that. Secondly, I'd like to ask if, will you grant or your executive director grant a waiver or approve an MOU if it does not comply with the water basin plan as amended in the criteria that is now established as of May? That is very unclear from what, and I think there was a lot of disinformation by your staff on that issue. Clearly, from what I'm reading in this, your regulations are requiring that the MOU require compliance with this criteria. So therefore, you are requiring compliance with the criteria, and you are mandating that these local jurisdictions do what you are not doing. Can you answer that question?
Why don't you go ahead and use up you have 2 minutes left, okay. And then we'll address.
And lastly, did you make an environmental determination today? And if so, what is your thought on when it has to be appealed by? Because I've gotten conflicting responses to that by your counsel, not this one, but other counsel. It's claiming that the appeal period doesn't run until after OAL approval and the act is enforceable. And I'm just wondering if it's from today or is it from OAL approval, since OAL wants to approve all of this together. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Either Francis or Roger, do you want to?
If I would prefer to discuss that issue of the statute of limitations or the for the CEQA, you know, you feel free to give me a call about that.
I'd say likewise about any hypothetical situations that you have. I wouldn't want to answer I didn't quite follow the conditions of your question, so it'd be better to tell me exactly what you mean in a separate conversation. I already answered your question.
Yeah, my comment was that if someone has a system that needed, you know, repair, what was and let's say it was on a parcel that was, you know, below the 1 acre minimum or whatever the minimum is, that my comment was looks like it would be grandfathered to have a system of some sort that would have to comply. What's that? Oh.
Please go to the podium.
Yeah, why don't you come up to the...
Okay, we're back to item 18 again.
Okay. Your criteria here, or what you have adopted here, seems to say that the system must meet the criteria that you have adopted under the Water Basin Plan in order to be approved for replacement, not repair, not maintenance, but for replacement. Or if, I believe Ms. Marks said if you want to add a bedroom or two, you're going to have to bring everything up to today's criteria. I don't know how you can bring something up to today's criteria if the criteria is impossible, such as a one-acre limitation on a half-acre lot that has
house. Can you tell us where that verbiage is that you're talking about?
It is at Roman numeral 8, D3.3.
Well, I think we already answered that several times today. We referred to the basin plan already saying, not by action today, but it's been in the basin plan for 26 years, repairs should comply to the basin plan to the extent practicable. So if the lot's less than an acre, you can't grow the lot. So that's not practicable.
Okay, so I'm glad to have some clarification on that, so they don't have to meet today's criteria.
Well, as to that element, but right. In terms of performance, I mean, the whole issue with septic systems and their alternative systems, they can't pollute. And that's really what drives.
Oh, no,
this.
I understand that. Yeah. But I'm just saying you're regulating land use now by this ordinance because you're limiting what people can do with their property and how they can subdivide it.
No.
And it requires that in order to get the waiver, the local jurisdiction is going to have to agree to your conditions of the water basin plan. And it does require that. That's what it says. And if someone wants to get an on-site waiver from you, it has to comply with water basin plan. That's what this
right,
new
exactly.
implementation says.
Yes. Otherwise, if you had neither of those choices, you would have to come to the regional board and get waste discharge requirements and pay an annual fee of right now $560. So those are the three choices. I mean, all the people with septic systems are required to comply with the water code. Currently, they're not doing that. This is a way to assure that everybody is complying with the water code in some way or other. And the tools the regional board has available to them are to waive waste discharge requirements and the fee where they condition it appropriately.
Right.
And that's what they did. And just back to your other question, right here it says, this is on failing systems. Local governing jurisdiction shall require replacements or repairs of failing systems to be in substantial conformance to the greatest extent practicable with basin plan recommendation requirements and prohibitions or the local on-site wastewater management plan. So just to confirm that it's to the extent practicable. So as Mr. Briggs said, if it's on less than an acre, it would not be practicable to make your site get bigger.
Okay, but you are requiring the local jurisdictions to do what you're not doing in enforcing the criteria here because you're going to have an MOU, and they have to enter into an MOU with you to get a waiver, right?
If an individual wants a waiver of waste discharge requirements, they will need to, and they go through the local agency. If the local agency doesn't have a program that implements the criteria, that will not be in compliance with the water code. So they would need to come and get their waiver or waste discharge requirements from the regional board.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. That ends public comment period. Last item is agenda item 22.